Okay, tonight, Biblical Prophecy, part number 12. Tonight we're going to look at the Battle of Armageddon. Jerusalem is at the heart of Bible prophecy. It is the city of the great God, of our great God. And he that touches Jerusalem touches the apple of God's eye. The stage is being set for the grand finale. Jerusalem, which is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible, is prophesied to play a key role in the world's destiny. Scores of biblical prophecies concerning Jerusalem have already come to pass. Fast-moving events in the Middle East point almost daily toward the grand finale. It's going to be the time of greatest suffering for the Jewish people, and it will climax in the terrifying Battle of Armageddon. Daniel's 70th week concludes with the Battle of Armageddon. But this battle is not in one place, but a battle that extends over a wide territory and that involves a series of events. And it's more of a campaign than a battle. Amen? Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21 and verse 20. Luke chapter 21 and verse 20. Luke chapter 21 and verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for Coastline Baptist Church, and Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have promised to preserve your word down through the centuries, and that you have, Lord, and we now stand here or sit here with it in our hands, Lord, able to read it. We thank you, Lord, for the promise of salvation in it, Lord, and we thank you also for these prophecies, Lord. These incredible things that are written thousands of years ago, Lord, are coming true today, Lord. We thank you, thank thee and praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen. From this passage in Luke, it appears that Jerusalem will first be overcome and the Jews scattered and enslaved by the Antichrist at the beginning of the last half of Daniel's 70th week. This is when the Antichrist desecrates the temple by setting himself up as God. And we saw in my last message, during this time of renewed persecution, two-thirds of the Jews in the land that's in Israel will perish, and one-third will be converted. We saw that in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Then at the end of the 70th week, 3.5 years later, the armies of the nations will gather around Jerusalem. At that time, Christ will return and empower Israel to overcome her enemies. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3 says, Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. God has all power to do as he will. Amen? He will literally move mountains. Could you please turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, and we'll start in verse 18. Revelation chapter 14, verse 18 says, "And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried out with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, to the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." In this prophecy, it says that the full length of the Battle of Armageddon is 1,600 furlongs, or about 280 kilometres. So the battle will extend for the entire length of Israel from the north unto the south. Armies will come from all over the world, but particularly from the west and north and from the east. So in Revelation, please turn with me to chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12. "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." And drop down to verse 16. "And he gathered them together unto a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." And if we compare Scripture with Scripture, we can see how many soldiers there will be there. So if you want to go back to Revelation chapter 9 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 13. And here we say the sixth angel again. "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them." So this prophecy describes the Eastern Confederacy, if you will, which will number 200 million men. 200 million. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine an army with 200 million people in it, and what it would look like. If we look to previous wars that have been in the world, we look at World War I, 37 million people died in World War I. It's a lot of people, but certainly not even close to being 200 million people strong. In World War II, 85 million people died. A lot of people again. In Revelation chapter 16 and verse 16, we see that this battle will take place at Armageddon, which in Hebrew means Mountain of Megiddo. And this refers to the Valley of Jezreel. If we look at extra-biblical literature, it's also called the Plain of Esdraelon. Esdraelon, which is the Greek form of Jezreel. It connects with the Valley of Megiddo and the Herod Valley to form one large plain. The Herod Valley gets its name from the Herod Spring near Jezreel. Megiddo occupies a strategic location on a pass through the Carmel mountain range, straddling the major north and south route between Mesopotamia and Egypt, called the Way of the Sea. And this valley has been the scenes of battles from ancient times. During the past 4,000 years, at least 34 bloody conflicts have been fought at the ancient site of Megiddo and the adjacent areas of the Jezreel Valley. The Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Israelites, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the Philistines, the Greeks, the Romans, the Muslims, the Crusaders, the Mongols, the French, the Ottomans, the British, even the Australians, Germans, Arabs and Israelis have all fought and died there. And the names of warring generals and leaders reverberate throughout history. There's Deborah and Barak, Sisera, Gideon, Saul and Jonathan, Jehu, Joram, Jezebel, Josiah, Vespasian, Saladin, Napoleon and Allenby. Just to name a few of the most famous ones. Israel has fought several famous battles at Megiddo. It was a scene of Barak's victory over the Canaanites and of Gideon's victory over the Midianites. And also three of Israel's kings died there. Saul in the hands of the Philistines in the 10th century BC. And Ahaziah in the hands of Jeru in the 9th century BC. And Josiah in the hands of the Egyptian army in the 7th century BC. And more in modern times, a significant battle was fought there in 1918 when British forces under General Edmund Allenby defeated the Ottoman armies to gain control of the land of Israel, loosing the Ottoman Empire's 4-century-long grip on the land and paving the way for the establishment of a Jewish state. Preceding Allenby's Battle of Megiddo, the famous British officer called Lawrence of Arabia led his Arabian fellows in attacks east of the Jordan to distract the Ottomans. And Allenby was made a Viscount or Viscount, and he took the title Viscount of Megiddo to commemorate this victory. The defeat of the Turks led to the British Mandate over Palestine in 1922. And although the British later backtracked from their promise in the Balfour Declaration to secure establishment of the Jewish national home and arm the Arabs against the Jews, they still played a major, probably unwilling role in the establishment of the modern state of Israel. The Battle of Armageddon will witness Gentile armies massed throughout the valley of Jezreel and beyond. Will you please turn in your Bibles to Joel chapter 3, verse 9. Joel chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen and gather yourselves together around about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more." So as we see here, we move to Jerusalem, the heart of the battle. Amen? The valley of Jehoshaphat traditionally refers to the Kidron Valley between the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives. Since Joel says that Christ will roar out of Zion or Jerusalem, the Kidron Valley fits the context. This also agrees with Zechariah chapter 14, which says that Christ will return to the Mount of Olives. The Kidron Valley isn't very large, but Zechariah chapter 14, 4 says the topography of the area will be dramatically changed when the Mount of Olives splits in two parts and a great east-west valley forms. So it appears that the entire land of Israel will be overrun and Christ will defeat the enemies of Israel. Amen? If you'd like to please turn with me to the book of Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, we'll look at verse 1 to 9. Zechariah chapter 12. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth will be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and its rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Israel. So it's no wonder then that this small and seemingly insignificant city often makes front page news throughout the world in these end times. When Jerusalem is surrounded by enemy armies at the end of the Great Tribulation, Christ will return and defeat them. He will strike them with blindness and madness so that they turn on one another. And the Jewish remnant will be made strong and courageous, with the feeblest becoming a mighty warrior like David. If you're still in the book of Zechariah, I want to flip over a few chapters to chapter 14 and verse 12. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 12. This is an amazing prophecy. Very fearful sounding thing. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbour, and the hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbour. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. It is identified as the day of the Lord, which refers to the period of time in which God will judge the world and establish his kingdom on earth. It is called the Lord's Day in contrast to man's day, which has lasted for 6,000 years. In the day of the Lord, God will be exalted and rebellious men will be humbled, and the throne of the world will belong to Christ. Amen? Zechariah 14 begins with the Antichrist nations gathered together against Jerusalem and the city conquered and ransacked. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 1 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and the half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." At that point, Christ will appear on the Mount of Olives to the east of the Temple Mount, and the mountain will cleave from east to west to form a valley, providing a passageway of escape for the remnant Jews. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 4 says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." Azel means adjoining and refers to a place to which the valley extends to. It's Christ who will destroy the armies that are gathered around Jerusalem. Christ will then establish the headquarters of his world kingdom in Jerusalem, and it will become a place of safety, joy, and holiness. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 11 and says, "And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited." How different this will be compared to its condition today. Instead of safety, there is great and constant danger. Instead of true righteousness, there is self-righteousness. Instead of obedience to God's law, there are vain human traditions and empty religious rituals. Instead of holiness, there is covetousness, pride, sensuality, envy, and hatred. On August the 6th, 1945, the first nuclear bomb was used in warfare. That was 74 years ago. Today's nuclear weapons are 100 times more efficient than the ones that were detonated over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Today there is enough nuclear weapons to obliterate the planet. Here is a quick description of what happens in a modern nuclear blast. The rapid release of energy in an explosion creates a shock wave of overpressure. Very close to the center of a nuclear explosion, overpressure is equivalent to several thousand psi. This overpressure crushes objects. Human lungs are crushed at about 30 psi. Brick houses are destroyed at about 10 to 15 psi. The blast also generates high velocity winds which can turn objects into missiles. At 15 to 20 psi, the winds can fling a person at several hundred kilometers per hour. A nuclear explosion releases a huge amount of energy as light, visible light, infrared and ultraviolet light. The light is so intense it can make sand explode. It can blind people many miles away, burn shadows into concrete and ignite flammable materials at large distances. The thermal radiation also causes burns on human skin. The heat from the explosion is so intense that nearly all materials near the center of the explosion are immediately vaporized. The thermal radiation creates a fireball which rapidly expands outward, consuming oxygen, and combined with the blast effect, creating near total destruction for some distance from the epicenter. A nuclear explosion also sends out electromagnetic pulse. similar to the thermal pulse. Although electromagnetic pulse doesn't directly affect humans, it disables all electronic devices in its path. 50 years ago, it was not possible for the whole world to watch one event happening on the world stage simultaneously. But as we know, we now have the technology to watch God's two witnesses in Israel. Nuclear warfare has been a fear of man for many decades now. And we are now capable of destroying all the life on the planet. The descriptions of what will happen at this terrible time in history could be attributed to nuclear warfare. God tells us in His Word that earthquakes and mountains will be earthquakes and mountains will be removed. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 16, it says, "And He gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, 'It is done.' And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent." I think the talent is about 33 kilo, 120 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." God does not need to use nuclear weapons for these things to transpire. Amen? He spoke this world and the entire universe into existence. But down through history, God has used man to do His will. And most probably will do the same at this terrible battle. This war will be like no other ever seen in the history of man. But thankfully, God steps in and stops man from total annihilation. I think you read this scripture today, Brother Hugh, Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 and 22. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Amen?